الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا
in all the gaps, all the empty gaps, so that those who are behind you can find a place to pray. Try to remember to do this every Friday, so that the khatib doesn't have to remind you every single Friday. This is an ongoing need. Okay, so fill the gaps up, please. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah. And as such, we should praise Him, seek His help, and seek His forgiveness. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. And we should seek refuge in Allah from the evil which is within ourselves, and the evil which results from our deeds. مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهِ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهِ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهِ For whomsoever Allah has guided, none can misguide, and whomsoever Allah has allowed to go astray, none can guide. واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was his slave and messenger. Inna asdaq al-hadith kitabullah. Indeed, the most truthful form of speech is that contained in the book of Allah, the Quran. Wa khayru hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the best source of guidance is the guidance which was brought by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَشَرَّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا. And the worst, the most evil of all affairs are the innovations and changes in religion. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. For indeed, every innovation in religion is a cursed innovation, which leads to misguidance, and misguidance leads ultimately to hell. In the first khutbah, I spoke about the obligation of knowledge, of seeking knowledge on every Muslim. That this was a part of worshipping Allah. It is a religious obligation on every Muslim to seek knowledge, first and foremost of his religion, then whatever knowledge is necessary for him or her to live a life in this world, a life of relative comfort, which means knowledge of all of the various spheres of learning. Muslims should seek it also. And in the second khutbah last week, I focused on the sources of knowledge. Where do we get the knowledge, first and foremost, of the religion from? We said that it was from the Quran, first and foremost, because it is the most truthful book in this world. It is the book of revelation which has been preserved for 1,400 years, unchanged, in the written form as well as memorized in the hearts of the believers. So it is the first source that we go to. And in order to fully understand that source, how to implement that source, it is necessary to follow the explanations given by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah had said, وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. In reference to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Allah said, I have revealed to you the reminder, the Quran, in order that you would explain for people what was revealed for them. So this was the job of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to explain the Quran to us. Explain it not only in word, but in deed. As Allah described him as Uswatun Hasana, the best example. So he lived the Quran. When Aisha was asked about the Prophet ﷺ's character, she said, Khulquhu al-Quran. His character was the Quran itself. He was a living example of the Quran. So these were the two basic sources of knowledge. And of course we said that knowledge has to be understood according to how those who conveyed that knowledge to us understood it. Meaning that the disciples, the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who were alive when the Quran was being revealed, who lived with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they best understood what was intended by the verses and by the explanations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khairun nasi qarni," the best of people is my generation. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ, then those who follow them. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ, then those who follow them. Those first three generations, because of their closeness to the revelation, they become the source of our understanding those two sources. Very important, because this is the necessary step for preservation of Islam down through the centuries in the way that it was revealed. Today, my focus is on ikhlas. Ikhlas meaning sincerity. Sincerity of intention. Because having understood the need to seek knowledge, and having understood where to get the knowledge from, the question now is, what do we do with that knowledge? How do we apply that knowledge? And the most fundamental principle that is essential for each and every one of us to grasp, to understand, to internalize, and to implement is sincerity of intention. As Allah said, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينِ. They were only commanded to make the religion sincere for Allah. This is the essential commandment. Religion sincere for Allah. And this is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made a statement so important that scholars have referred to it as being one of the three most important statements of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the religion. One third of the religion depends on it. The scholars of hadith typically began their compilations of hadith with this hadith. And that hadith was, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Indeed, deeds, actions, are judged according to their intention. Our actions, whatever we do, will be ultimately determined in terms of its reward by the intention behind them. This is a very grave, a very serious statement. One which, unfortunately, with the pressure of life, where our worries become putting food in our mouths and in the mouths of our children, we scurry around trying to gather as much of this world as we can. We lose track of the most important elements of our lives. And we perform our acts of worship, sometimes regularly, sometimes when we can, oftentimes irregularly. And the act of worship that we perform, that we do them like burdens that we take from our backs. We do them at the last minute, and we wipe our brows once it's done. Alhamdulillah. But we forget that these acts, like all acts of worship, if they are not sincere for Allah, they are of no benefit to us. Allah told us the code for all of the believers. He said, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, إِنَّ صَلَاتِي, indeed my acts of prayer, وَنُسُكِي, my sacrifices, وَمَحْيَايَ, my life, وَمَمَاتِي, and my death, are for the sake of Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. This is the code of the believer. Life dedicated to God. So, if we consider step by step what constitutes Islam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam identified the foundations of Islam as five pillars, and I'm sure you're all familiar with them. It is important that he did identify them. That over 1,400 years, nobody said that the foundations of Islam were other than these five pillars. It is evidence that Islam has remained unchanged. If we look at the other religions, there are so many different opinions as to what is the foundation. And these opinions change from era to era, from generation to generation, constantly in change. No two scholars agree on it. That's the sign. These are among the signs that the true religion is Islam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam identified its foundations 1,400 years ago. The first is the declaration of faith. That declaration of faith brings a person automatically into the fold of Islam. That declaration of faith is the key to paradise. It has always been the key to paradise. It was the key to paradise in the time of Prophet Adam and his wife Eve. La ilaha illallah. There is no God worthy of worship but Allah. But with each generation, the prophets that brought that key brought along with it Adam Rasulullah, Ibrahim Rasulullah, Dawood Rasulullah, Isa Rasulullah, and Muhammadun Rasulullah. May Allah be pleased with all of them. So the declaration of faith, the key to paradise, which, or on the basis of which, Muslims have today fallen into a slumber, thinking that simply because it is said, one enters paradise. All Muslims will go to paradise. But this, of course, is not true. All true Muslims will go to paradise. But not all who say they are Muslims will go to paradise. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, "Kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-jannah." All of my nation will enter paradise. And this is what those who say Muslims go to paradise, they will grab onto this and say, "Okay, this is it, finish." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "All of his nation will go to paradise." But he didn't stop there. He went on and said, "Illa man aba." Except for those who refuse. The companions, his followers, were surprised. They said, "Who would refuse, O Messenger of Allah? Who would refuse to go to paradise?" He said, "Man ata'ani dakhala al-jannah." Whoever obeys me will enter paradise. "Wa man asani faqad aba." And whoever disobeys me has refused. Whoever disobeys me has refused. Meaning that obedience to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is proof of the sincerity of one's commitment to be a part of the ummah, to be a part of the nation, the generations following the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is proof. It is in the practice. And the Prophet ﷺ had said, "Man qala la ilaha illallah mukhlisan biqalbi dakhala al-jannah." Whoever says there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, sincerely from his heart, will enter paradise. He made sincerity a condition. And it's common sense. Because somebody who doesn't believe in Allah could just say, "La ilaha illallah," just in case. Right? They don't believe, but just to make sure that in case it is true, they say, "La ilaha illallah," so they can enter paradise with the rest of us in case it's true. Common sense tells us that surely God is not going to accept that. It had to be sincere. So the first step becomes a hurdle. If we're not sincere, it becomes a hurdle. It becomes a block for us to enter paradise from the very first step. So we have to stop and think. During salah, during tashahud, when we say "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah," do we mean it? Do we mean it? Or are we just saying it because that's what we learned? The second step, salah. After a person has accepted the oneness of Allah, the second obligation on himself or herself is to establish 5 times daily prayer. The establishment of 5 times daily prayer. Not just to pray. Some people say the second pillar of Islam is prayer. No. It is the establishment of 5 times daily prayer. making prayer the fabric of a person's life, his day-to-day life. It is the foundation. Everything is built on it. Because, as Allah said, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, establish the prayer for my remembrance, in order that we be conscious of God throughout our daily lives. That's why five times. Not just prayer. Because if it's just prayer, then the prayer of those who we call Friday Muslims, who come to worship God on Friday, rest of the week they're too busy. Or Ramadan Muslims, who in the month of Ramadan worship God, rest of the week, rest of the year, they are too busy. It would mean that their worship, their salah is acceptable to Allah. It is not. It is not. Because that is not what Allah ordered us. When He said, أقم الصلاة, establish the prayer. He didn't say, صلوا, pray. He said, أقم الصلاة, establish the prayer for my remembrance. So, sincerity in this pillar requires that we establish the prayer. Establishing the prayer has a variety of different aspects. Too many for me to go into in this brief khutbah. Perhaps it is a topic of some of the khutbahs to come, which we need to reflect on some more. But for now, it is enough to say that establishment of the prayer with regards to men is praying in the masjid. Praying it in the masjid as much as you are able. Praying it on time. In the beginning of the time for everybody. Praying it with consciousness, being aware of what we are saying and doing. Prayer is no good if we don't have wudu, as the Prophet ﷺ had said, La salata liman la wudu ala. Wudu is our means of preparing ourselves for prayer. Putting ourselves in the correct spiritual and mental state so that the prayer will have the impact that it is supposed to have on us. How do we know when the prayer is impacting on us? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Indeed, the prayer prevents evil speech and evil deeds. So if we are praying five times a day, but we are involved in evil speech, saying things which are either lies, distortions, cursing, all of what we would classify as evil speech, then it is a sign that the prayer that we are making is not the one which was prescribed. Or evil deeds, where we are doing acts which are forbidden in Islam. Daily doing acts forbidden in Islam. This is why some of the non-Muslims will question us, what is the use of this prayer? I see so and so, your Muslim brother, who prays. Every time the time for prayer comes, he goes running to the mosque and he makes his prayer. But he cheats us. He lies. He curses us. Anytime we make a mistake on the job, he calls us himar, donkey. What is the use of that prayer? Yeah, we have to say, what is the use of that prayer? Because Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had said that some people pray and only a third of the prayer goes up to Allah, is recorded for them. Others pray and less than that goes up. And some pray and nothing goes up. Nothing is recorded for them. Only actions. No reward. Because there is no sincerity there. And the Prophet ﷺ had said that among the things which I fear the most for my ummah is riya, or hidden shirk, hidden idolatry, a secretive form of idolatry. And when he was asked about it, he said, it was people praying and beautifying their prayers when they know people are watching them. Their prayer is for show. It's for show. In a sense, this is something that we might inadvertently raise our children with. Because children will pray for show. When you pray and your child gets up and prays, they're doing it because they want to imitate you and they know you like it when they do. So for the child, they will do that. Do it for show. But we have to inculcate in them that it shouldn't really be done for show. When they are mentally able, obviously, to understand it. You can't explain this to a two-year-old. This is later. When salah becomes an obligation on you to teach them at the age of seven. By the time they hit the age of seven, then you have to be stressing to them that the prayer is for Allah. Whether I'm here or I'm not here, to see you or not see you, Allah sees you. You do it for Allah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. I ask Allah's forgiveness for both you and myself and all the Muslims from all sin. Do likewise, for he is the oft forgiving, the most merciful. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. Our praise is due to Allah, and may Allah's peace and blessings be on the last messenger of Allah. The third of the pillars of Islam, fasting, soul, which is coming around in a few months' time. Every year, we fast for 1 month. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had said that whoever does not make his intention or her intention to fast the next day, each day of Ramadan, then his fast or her fast is no good. That is to prevent us from allowing the fast to become such a ritual we don't even think about it. So, we fast during the day and we feast at night. Before Ramadan and after Ramadan, we feast in the day and we fast at night. So we just turn it around. You do it for a month and then you switch back. To prevent that, the Prophet ﷺ instructed us to make the intention for fasting each day. The night before Fajr, that intention should be there. It doesn't mean we have to stand and read out a long list of issues concerning I intend to fast tomorrow, the second day of Ramadan, and pray five times prayer and do this and do that. No, we don't need to do that. But it should be in our heart. We should reflect. Because the place of the intention is in the heart. It's not on the lips. Except in Hajj. So this is a requirement for us. And this is why Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had said that some people will fast Ramadan and the only thing they get from their fast is thirst and hunger. Thirst and hunger, that's all. We have to question ourselves. Is that the state of our fast? Thirst and hunger. And he gave us a criterion to know whether our fast is correct or not also. He said that whoever does not give up, lies, cursing, false speech during Ramadan, then Allah will not record his or her fast. So again, sincerity has to be realized in practice. So we follow the general rule of the Prophet ﷺ, wherein he instructed us that whoever believes in Allah on the last day should either speak good things, or be silent. فَلْيَقُلُ الْخَيْرَ أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. If we don't really have anything good to say during Ramadan throughout our lives, then it's better to be silent. And the fourth pillar of Islam, zakah. Zakah. Once a year, we take from our accumulated wealth, which we haven't used for one whole year, and we give 2.5% of it to the poor. In order to train us in generosity. This is forced charity. Allah has obliged us to be charitable. But we are encouraged to go beyond that, to sadaqah, to voluntary charity. That is supposed to be a motivator, a means of encouragement to do sadaqah, to give to others in need. Giving in such a way that those who receive don't feel we have done them a favor. Giving, as the Prophet ﷺ said, with the right hand, so secretly that the left hand didn't know what the right hand did. But at the same time, that generosity, which is taught by zakat, whereby the generous person in this life is considered to be a person of honor. We hold up so and so. He is a philanthropist. He is a generous person giving from his wealth. What a great person that person is. Yet Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had said that among the first three people who will be put in hell will be a philanthropist, a generous person. Allah will ask that person on the Day of Judgment, what did you do with the wealth which I gave you? Because all wealth comes from Allah. It is not a result of our hard work. It comes from Allah. Because if it were a result of our hard work, then those people who work the hardest, who are the poorest in the world today, would be the richest. So what did you do with the wealth that I gave you? And that philanthropist will say, well, Allah, I gave from this wealth to the people for your sake. I shared my wealth with them. And Allah will say, no, you didn't do it for my sake. You did it so that people will say, what a generous person he is. What a kind person she is. What a caring person he is. And people have said it in the world. So what you sought, you achieved. But in this life, there is nothing. He or she will be dragged off on their face and thrown in the hellfire. What is this talking about? Sincerity. Sincerity. And the last of the pillars of Islam, the Hajj. The Hajj, pilgrimage to Mecca, about which the Prophet ﷺ had said, whoever makes that pilgrimage accepted by Allah, he or she comes back from Hajj pure like the day they were born. Pure from sin like the day they were born. Erases sin. But what happens to people? Because the Prophet ﷺ had said that Hajj erases sin. And actually he said that fasting erases sin. And he said that Salah erases sin. And all of the actual acts of worship, when done sincerely, erase sin. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ Allah said in the Quran. Good deeds erase evil deeds. But the true good deed is one which is done sincerely for the sake of Allah. But people tend to make Hajj's power to purify the ultimate. So, what happens? Instead of making Hajj when it becomes obligatory, that is, as soon as you reach puberty, you are able, you have the means, you should go and make Hajj. People delay Hajj to the latter part of their lives. I'm sure many of you have heard that. When you said to your parents or your relatives, I'm going to make Hajj now, and you're only 25 or something like this, they say, no, no, don't make Hajj now. You're still young. You still have many sins to commit. Wait until the end of your life, when you're old. That's when you go and make Hajj. When you've run out of steam. You can't commit any more sins. Now this is the time to go make Hajj. You clean it all up. I'm sure you've heard that. But it is wrong. It is completely wrong. This is not the time to make Hajj. If we leave Hajj to the end of our lives, meaning we continue to live corrupt, disobedient lives, do you think that we'll be able to make the Hajj which is acceptable to Allah? Allah said, لا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج. لا رفث. No bad words. لا فسوق. No evil actions. ولا جدال. Even no argumentation in Hajj. Do you think the person who has left Hajj to the end of his life will be able to fulfill those conditions? No! Those of you that's gone to make Hajj, you see some people, old people, you see them in their 80s and long beards and everything, and any little thing happens, they're flying off the handle. They're shouting, they're screaming, elbowing people, stamping on their feet and carrying on. You say, wow, brother, uncle, grandfather, take it easy, this is Hajj. We can't make the kind of Hajj which is acceptable to Allah if we don't have the right intention for Hajj. It will not purify. It will be thrown back in our faces on the Day of Judgment. And this is the case of all of the acts of worship. And this is why one of the scholars of the past, the early scholars by the name of Yahya ibn Kathir, he had said, learn about intentions because they are more important than the deeds themselves. Learn about intentions because they're more important than the deeds themselves. It is the decider. Sincerity in actions, in words, is what determines ultimately our success in this life and the next. So this is the challenge which is before us, brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he commanded us saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. That indeed Allah and the angels send peace and blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All you who believe, do likewise. This was a reminder to us to follow that way, to follow the prophetic way, the way of sincerity, the sincere way. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the epitome of sincerity. He lived a sincere life. Read his life, his seerah, his biography. Read about it. Read about it to learn from it, not just to be aware of the events of the Prophet ﷺ's life, but what is the meaning of these events? What are the implications in our lives? So that we may gain from his example sincerity. Be around those who are sincere. Choose your friends well, the Prophet ﷺ said. Choose your friends well, because you will be raised on the Day of Judgment with your friends. So if you see among your friends one who seems to be sincere in his or her actions, then make them your best friend, that perhaps something of that will rub off on you. That's what we need. We don't need friends who are insincere. So, I close with a dua, which Prophet Muhammad taught us, because the religion of Islam is complete. Knowing that we as human beings, no matter how hard we try to be sincere, we will have lapses and we will fall into insincerity. So the Prophet ﷺ taught us to say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika shay'an wa ana a'lam. O Allah, surely I seek refuge in you from committing acts of shirk, of idolatry, dedicating things to other than you while doing so knowingly. وَاسْتَغْفِرُكَ لِمَا لَا أَعْلَمُ. And I seek your forgiveness for what I don't know about. He taught us this to protect us from doing acts to be seen, acts for show, acts which are insincere. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our acts through our intentions sincere for Him. I ask Him to put in our hearts a desire to want to relearn His religion and to apply it sincerely in our lives. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify each and every one of us, our intentions, and make us good examples of Islam that we may succeed in this life and the next. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. Glory be to your Lord, the Lord of power above all falsely things attributed to Him. Wassalamu ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And may God's peace be on all the messengers of Allah. And all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.